Welcome back to Real Bearded News. I'm your host, Sean. Thank you for joining me today. Today I have a very special guest. He is the director of Secrets of the Temple, a movie that I just spent the last year working on. And so, without further ado, here is Lachlan McLean. All right, great. Thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, good times. How long were you filming for again?
For this particular one, Secrets of the Temple, we began filming end of March, and we went to beginning of November. So roughly 8 months.
March of this year or March of last year?
March of this year of 2021.
Okay. But the entire project, though?
The entire project, like, with all three of them combined, we started filming April of 2020. And then we jumped into the second one that October.
Okay.
And then March of this year. So it was a continual thing.
Crazy. So basically, because I came along in October of last year. So for this film, we were together for a year.
I thought it was April of this year.
Whenever. No, I came in. Pretty sure it was October. No, that's a lie. Because whenever Evermore does their thing, whenever Evermore was.
Evermore was April.
April. Shot that. Okay. Yeah. There you go. So April. I thought it was April of last year or October of last year because I just remember it does demonic feel, things.
It does feel that long, though. You know?
Yeah. Most definitely did. So tell me, this is the third and final installment to this story, correct?
Yes.
So tell me, how did you come by this story? Like, what made you want to write a Star Wars inspired movie or a Star Wars fan film?
I'll go to the beginning. As I was telling you earlier today, I was living in New Mexico, and then when COVID happened, the lockdown was crazy down there, and I decided to come back up to Utah, and I wanted to make videos again. You know, I hadn't made any for like years. and so with that, I contacted one of my buddies, and we decided just to make a comedy type film, and we started on it, and then we changed it after day one and made just a fight film. As we were filming, I knew that I wanted to do more of this, and so I wrote Secrets of the Temple. Finances and budgeting was pretty hard and difficult to come by during the pandemic, so we put Secrets of the Temple on hold and made Secrets of the Trials instead, which was basically a big teaser trailer for Secrets of the Temple. And as for the big feature length type movie, I was really wanting to make one that was more elaborate than what I was seeing on YouTube, where it was just a bunch of different fight scenes. You know, they would do a fight video and then call it good. And I wanted to tell a story, give character development, show a world that I created within the Star Wars universe. And that's where it came from.
Nice. And then where, because obviously we filmed pretty much South Utah a little bit, but on the other parts that I wasn't part of, where exactly did you film and how did you find these places?
A lot of the places were just along the Wasatch Front in Utah County, a couple of spots in Salt Lake, but I primarily lived in Utah County and would go hiking up into the mountains a lot in my childhood and even into my adult years. And I would eyeball these different locations and say, I want to come back up here and film any movie, really. You know, I just wanted to go up there because it was really beautiful, different locations, like alongside a river. You know, I think that was your second day, was the river up in Alpine, where we had to hike like 10 minutes up into the canyon. But it was a really beautiful location with gigantic white rocks, like grayish white rocks that we were doing stunts off of, and very, very cool looking, you know. And that was a hiking location that I went to a lot as a kid for Cub Scouts when I lived in Alpine, Utah at the time. And that was one of the locations. Other ones were other hiking locations. And then to top it off, when I was doing other film gigs with different people, I would keep note of the locations that they went to and would say, I would love to come back and film here. And so, yeah, it was a mix of places I personally went to, plus other locations that I've been to on other film sets.
Nice. And so now that you're a proper filmmaker, right? Like, even though it's a fan film, you're a filmmaker now. what are some of the, I guess, stresses of being a filmmaker that you find out with this project that you had?
Elaborate on that a bit more.
What stressed you out the most?
In general, it was overseeing the entire project, you know, attached to that are everyone's schedules, you know, the requests of different people. I tend to be a people pleaser, and I want to make sure that it's probably bad that I do this. I mean, some say it's a quality. It might be a quality. I'm not sure. But one thing that I tend to do is make sure that everyone leaves happy or that feels good. And I try to please everybody. And there's usually at least one person who's not happy with something. And that was one thing that stressed me out a lot, was that I was trying to fix that. And I had to learn along the way that you can't always fix it. You can't always fix other people's problems. You know, when you're working with 50 plus different people on a project, you know, they're going to come in with their own baggage, and it's not my job to watch over their baggage.
Most definitely. What was something, so would you say that you were stressed most of the time, or some of the time, or all the time?
Well, if I give it like a percentage type thing, I think I was stressing maybe about 60% of the time.
Okay.
And it was usually just when things were moving slow or when things weren't going the way how they were planned, where I would stress about it. I was telling some of the other cast and crew members that it was more of the planning of all this that was more stressful. I loved being on set. I loved seeing the story come together, and that had its own stress to deal with, but that was something that I was expecting coming into it, you know? But like the planning for it all, orchestrating it all was more stressful than anything else.
Which leads me to my next question. What made you keep going? Like, what was, when you woke up day of filming, which you were only filming Fridays and Saturdays, what made you want to keep going?
What made me want to keep going, it was seeing how fun it was for everybody else. You know, seeing the joy that everybody had. You know, if they came in one day and they were all excited, that brought a lot of joy to me. If it was someone who came by every day, you know, and they still had the joy and the excitement and the enthusiasm, that made me want to keep coming back, because I knew that it was helping people, that it was helping someone. That was something I always wanted to do, was to help people find their dreams and their joy and that child within, that bring that child back in. Hence why I thought Star Wars would be a good film to do, because let's be honest, a lot of us stem from Star Wars. A lot of our inspiration comes from Star Wars.
For sure. And then if you were to give an advice to like the youngest listener that I have, and they want to create movies, but they don't know how to start, where to start, what advice would you give them?
I would have them stick with that creativity and that excitement that they have. You know, others might tell them not to, and that might not be good. Or they might say, you don't have the time to, you need to do your homework and you need to do your chores first. And obviously, yeah, listen to your parents and do that. But also, don't let your dreams fall apart. You know, chase it and do it.
Nice. Cool. All right. So I have a couple of questions for you to answer. Let's see if you're able to answer them awesomely.
Okay.
And so... we'll see. I stole these questions. Anyone that knows me and knows one of my best friends of life, Andre from Backseat Directors, knows that these are his questions. And I was like, I'm going to steal that because that's awesome.
Well, I didn't know. So
well, now you know. Now you know. I stole these. These are the get to know you questions that Backseat Directors ask all of their guests. And so the first one is 3 movies to take with you to a desert island.
I have a lot of favorite movies, but if I'm looking at the ones that treat my different creativities and treat me inside, I would pick The Prestige, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, and one of the Toy Story movies, 1 through 3. I didn't really like the fourth one, but...
I love the fourth one.
I don't know. I didn't like the ending, so that might be the one that I will change.
That's interesting. The fourth one came out during a time of my life that I was going through, like, the worst absolute thing that I felt like absolute crap. And so the fourth one just lifted me up into, like, a different wavelength. And I was like, you know what? I am amazing. So
yeah,
I love the fourth one now.
Well, I feel bad.
Okay, what is your favorite movie theater snack?
I have a lot of different favorite ones, but I would have to say peanut M&Ms.
That is mine as well. That's a solid choice. Better than Red Vines or
oh, gross
other crap that they have in there. Swedish Fish is almost acceptable, but I don't like candy.
You don't like the sugary
type? Yep, not a fan. I love chocolate, so I'll eat anything chocolate at any point.
That just melts right in your mouth. It doesn't stick to your teeth.
Exactly.
Give you cavities.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure it does give cavities, but
if you eat like excess amounts, but candy, I feel like you eat it once and it's like cavity prone if you don't brush your teeth like 10 seconds after.
For sure.
I also don't like the fruitiness of candy.
Interesting. No, yeah. I like a lot of different candies, you know.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I like Sour Patch, and I am satisfied with taking one off of, like, my kid loves candy. And so I will take one from him when we go to the movie theater. And that satisfies, that satiates my, like, oh, I want a candy. And I'm good. I'm good to go. And then I'll just eat the rest of my M&M peanuts. That or the Crunch, like, what do you call it? Crunch Blast or whatever? The Crunch Bites?
Like the chocolate crunch ones that are like rice? Like crispy rice, yeah.
That comes, like, in little, like, nuggets, basically.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Yeah, those are M&M peanuts in that. That's, and I'm good. Not candy.
Not popcorn? Do you do popcorn?
I love popcorn. Yeah, yeah. Popcorn with, like, a heart attack on top of it. I love it. Bunch of butter.
Oh, I can't stand the butter. I used to work at a movie theater, and I would always get, like, the real butter that they had in the back and put that on my popcorn because that tasted more real to me, and I couldn't stand the fake.
You know, I'll take the fake butter. It's okay. It's delicious to me. I don't know. That and with white cheddar powder on top of it, prime time. Wow. Or I had a girlfriend ages ago. She used to do nacho cheese.
On the popcorn?
On the popcorn, yeah. So anytime we went out to a movie theater, it sucked because it was more expensive for me. This was when I paid for movies. And I would get the large popcorn, two large drinks, and then I would have to pay like $1.50 extra for the nacho cheese. Whatever that price is. I'm pretty sure it's $1.50. And so she used to just dip her popcorn in the nacho cheese. And one day I tried it. I was like, this is delicious. It's not $1.50 delicious for me, but this is delicious.
Yeah.
And so popcorn and cheese.
That.
Yeah, it's a new one. What is the first movie that made you cry?
This one was hard for me to trace back because I would think about different ones that would make me cry, you know, some that made me cry because it was scary. When I was little, I didn't like scary movies. I still don't. You know, I'm not really into the horror dynamic type stuff, you know. I'm into the more feel-good type things, which is interesting because the fan film that I made isn't one of those. It's a really intense, epic, gritty film is how I would describe Temple. Which is also stuff that I like. I like the intensity, but I don't like the stuff that doesn't make me feel good, at least, which is demonic, horror, satanic type stuff. But anyways, one that made me cry, and this one, it still makes me cry to this day, is Toy Story. You know, I did just say I didn't like the fourth one because of the ending, but it still made me cry because it was bringing back those little memories that I had as a kid, you know, and just the bond that these toys have. I was like, that means a lot to me, is my bond with the different individuals, you know, and feeling that connection with them. As far as which Toy Story it is that makes me cry, like I said, any of them really, really did. And that's as far back as I can remember for ones that made me feel good and also that made me cry because of the emotion that was attached to it.
Nice. Solid. I mean, Toy Story 4, man. We'll get you all every time.
Need to watch it again. Yeah, I only saw it once.
Next question is favorite movie director and favorite actor.
Favorite movie director, I would have to say, is Christopher Nolan.
Okay.
You know, I take a lot of my inspiration from him. It used to be like Steven Spielberg and and all that. But once I started to watch Nolan's movies, I really liked the twists and the way how he told stories as well. And that was something that I was really inspired by for him. As for actor, you know, I need to watch more of his movies, but as a human too, it's Hugh Jackman. I think Hugh Jackman's an amazing guy just based on what I've seen. And his acting is pretty great too. You know, he has an amazing voice, really good with any role that he's put into from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, most definitely. And I feel like saying Spielberg, it's almost like a very vanilla like answer.
Yeah, right? Generic one, yeah.
Yeah, like anybody that's growing up, right? Especially on our time. I mean, I'm a little older than you, but still almost same generation. We had Jaws growing up. We had E.T. We had like a lot of really good Spielberg
Indiana
movies.
Jones,
Indiana
yeah.
Jones, Schindler's List. And so it's like, yeah, Spielberg is amazing, but it's almost very, yeah, I like Spielberg. It's like, all right, bro, you don't know movies. Like, if that's what you think is a great director, you need to expand a little more. Christopher Nolan, though, it's almost a vanilla answer, but it's not, because Christopher Nolan has so much more deeper stuff
yeah.
than just, you know, the Batman trilogy, right? He has
yeah.
other things.
Like I said, Prestige was one of my yeah. movies. Yeah.
The Prestige, I remember watching The Prestige. So I used to work at a movie theater. Not a movie theater. Whoa. A movie rental place. And what I did all day was watch movies and rent out.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, that was my entire day. And so I would spend, since it was after school, like 4 or 5 hours watching movies. And then I would borrow movies or rent a movie from this place and watch it again. The Prestige was one that I watched it at work and then went home and watched it again. I swear to you, I did not understand. Like, my 15-year-old brain could not comprehend what the hell I just watched. It was deep because yeah. it has so many layers. And now I watch it now and I'm like, this movie's amazing. Like, all the layers that he set up slowly.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, the payoff, remarkable, right? And then you have Hugh Jackman and
Christian Bale.
Christian
yeah.
Bale. Perfect. And now yeah. any other movie that Nolan makes, like Tenet or any of the other ones that he has done, it has just been fantastic. I've
yeah.
not been disappointed by anything. And every single time he has a movie, it's just one of those things where I'm like, I'm going to have to think, because it's just not entertainment. It's thoughtful almost
yeah.
through and through.
Yeah, it sucks you in. And Nolan isn't one of, he's not as consistent as like Spielberg, where Spielberg is always doing something, or at least he was, you know, constantly just pumping out films. Nolan, usually his films come out like every 2 or 3 years, you know, and it's, you know, he's more individual is what I would say. He's not like, yeah, I could see where he could be like a vanilla guy, but, like,
but it's not.
but he's not, because yeah. he doesn't have many films out, actually.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have as many out compared to, like, Spielberg or to Lucas or Peter Jackson or all these other big guys out there.
Yeah.
Tarantino, too, yeah.
Yeah, but even Tarantino, like, Tarantino and Nolan have that same thing where they don't make often movies, and when they do, you really have to sit down and watch yeah. it. Otherwise, you're missing very key plot points.
Yeah, I need to watch more Tarantino movies. I think I only saw like one.
Dude,
yeah, I need to watch more of them.
You're missing out.
That's what people keep
saying.
You're
missing
yeah.
out with Tarantino.
Guess we'll have to have a movie night, Sean.
I know. I'm okay with that. All right, so if you could change the ending of any movie, which would it be, and how would you change it?
This one is very tricky. I mean, I have lots of different movies that I didn't like, you know, and it was more just stuff in the middle that I didn't like, or different character arcs I didn't like that could have changed. As for ending, I can't think of one right now. I had mentioned Toy Story 4. And this would be the same for like Star Wars 7, 8, and 9, you know. Star Wars ended fine. It ended fine for me, and I was okay with it not continuing on. It just felt stretched after that when they started adding more content. And I felt the same with Toy Story 4. Is that the third one ended just perfectly, and then it came back and just were, it felt stretching and just pushing for me that I couldn't really enjoy it. Now it still had its moments that I really liked, and if they absolutely had to do it, which they already did, I would have changed the ending on that one where he didn't leave Buzz, because that was really hard to watch, was seeing how he left Buzz and
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah, spoiler if any of you guys haven't seen it. I didn't like what they did to some of the characters in that. You know, like, they weren't as heroic, or they weren't, like, the same how they were in the past three. But ending-wise, yeah, I would have done something different with the ending. I'm not sure what. It just, the separation of Buzz and Woody wasn't, like, it was appropriate to the characters, but for the story, I think it could have been something different.
Okay, that's fair. You did mention 7, 8, and 9 from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that you made a Star Wars movie,
yeah.
I'm quite curious about the character of Rey. What would you have done differently, if anything? Yeah. What would you have done differently with that? Spoilers may be coming ahead, so if you have not watched Star Wars 7, 8, and 9, first of all, it's on Disney Plus. It's your lost second. What's wrong with you? And third, skip till the next part of this.
Yeah, what Sean said. Rey, what I would have done different with her was change her heritage. Some people liked how she was a nobody. I think that she should, like, I didn't like that, you know. I knew that she had something of importance, and I was certain that she was a Kenobi. And I think that would have been very amazing to see it come full circle, where the grandchildren of these two iconic characters who started this whole problem in the galaxy come back together to fix it. You know, like, the granddaughter of Kenobi and the grandson of Vader, you know, like, come together. That would have been really cool. They still kind of did that with Rey as a Palpatine, you know, because that was also how the chaos started, was a Palpatine and a Skywalker, and they brought it back to that, and where they fixed the problem, which it worked, you know, and I'm okay with it. But, you know, those movies, I think, could have been planned a lot better. They should have just sat down and planned them all three and just stuck to it. But I feel like that they were listening too much to what the fans wanted. And, you know, a lot of people liked episode 7, then episode 8 came out and people hated that one. And then they completely scrapped everything from episode 8 and rewrote 9. And I had access to the episode 9 script that leaked before J.J. Abrams came in and changed it. And I thought that was a much better twist than what they came out with.
What was that twist on 9?
It was a very dark and gritty, like, they took the characters and threw them in a blender, basically, you know, and just, like, gave them these harsher looks and harsher arcs and all that. And it played on the idea of Rey as a nobody, which I personally didn't like. That was, if I could change that script, I would have changed that and have her stay as a Palpatine, because it ended up working. I felt like it ended up working. I just didn't like how they did it in episode 9, Rise of Skywalker. It had a classic cinematic end to a saga. And I feel like the episode 9 was lacking that.
Yeah. I agree with it. I think not only, if you remember the trailers for 7, like, Finn was really, like, the poster child for The Force Awakens.
Yeah, he was the advertisement, yeah.
I would have 100% kept Finn as, like, a main character and not just, like, a side story, and then just became an afterthought after that.
Yeah.
Having two Jedis come out of nowhere, that would have been dope. Like,
yeah,
if they would have continued with Finn. Because Finn had a fight with Kylo in 7, right?
Yeah, he did.
It was very minimal, but he had a lightsaber and whatever. I would have kept that. Like, that was good. People were hyped for that. A lot of people blame Rian Johnson for 8 just being what it is.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it garbage, but I don't want to call it good either, because it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. I have mixed feelings on that one. I have been and am in and out on that one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just been that way for the past 4 years, you know.
But imagine if Rey would have been a Kenobi, or, I don't know, someone else of Qui-Gon Jinn's freaking descendant somehow, right?
I thought that would have been cool if she was, like, a great-granddaughter or something.
Yeah, someone of importance, because Qui-Gon is one of those Force users or Jedis that were like, yeah, this is the rule, but I'm going to do what I want to because it's the right thing to do, kind of thing. And so even having Obi-Wan with, I forgot what her name was, that he had a love interest in the Clone Wars.
I think.
If that would have even been his daughter or grandchild eventually, that would have been good too. And then you have Finn just being Mace Windu's, like Descendant or
Lando's.
Or Lando's. Yeah. Like someone that would have been important. I think it would have impacted more if it would have been Mace Windu.
Yeah.
Just because Lando's was a side character that became kind of important because of his fame at that time.
Yeah.
But just make it so you have these two characters who are descendants of characters that we loved from the prequels and then fight Kylo, which obviously he kills Han Solo. And then it the way Kylo's arc went was good. I liked it enough. But Rey's and Finn's, I think they botched that deeply.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned something that I thought was pretty intriguing was, you know, the connections to the prequels. And I think that they should have stuck with that, you know, like they should have had more connections to the prequels, not just the original ones, because the prequels is like part of the Star Wars universe too. And it would have brought everything full circle if they did that. And they only had like a few name drops, you know, throughout. And it felt too much like copy and paste of 4, 5, and 6 to me.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I'm not a fan of that. You know, I like the more original, you know, content. And that's why I'm in and out about episode 8, because it had it stepped away from tradition and did something new. And I liked that, but there were still parts of it that I didn't like.
So. Yeah. No, most definitely. Okay. So that being said, you know, it is your Star Wars movie coming out. When is it coming out?
May 4th.
Of 2022.
Yes. Yeah. May 4th of 2022. Yeah.
Great. Where can my audience see it?
We are going for a YouTube release on that, and I am looking into other streaming platforms to release it on as well.
Nice. That would be awesome. So you guys could go ahead and watch it on YouTube May 4th, 2022. What is your Instagram and Facebook handle?
So Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We don't really have anything for Facebook. But for those three that I just mentioned, it's Backyard Tripod Film. That's for Instagram and TikTok. And then YouTube, it's Backyard Tripod Films. And that's where you can find the content. Photos, silly little TikToks, behind the scenes. And then the actual film and anything that has to do with the content for the film will be on YouTube.
Great. And are you working on anything of yours that Backyard Tripod is going to put out after Star Wars?
I have other stories written. I have written a lot of different stories that I want to do, and I am thinking about, I haven't given it much thought, you know, but I am thinking about exploring my fantasy world that I've spent 10 plus years writing and creating, and I thought this would be a good time to maybe explore that, you know. And like, I was talking with my brother about it, and I'm a big fantasy guy. You know, I love like orcs, dragons, and all that type of stuff that you see. And I love character development too, and depth to stories. And I would love to combine that into this realm of film.
Great. We look forward to it. I know I do. And by default, I have to work on those. So there's no way around it, because he already told me. So I call dibs. I will be first DP on this one. All right. Awesome, man. Thanks so much for coming in and taking your busy time to talk to the fans of the show and soon to be fans of your movie.
Why, thank you, Sean. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
No problem, man. And that's it. Thank you for joining me today and getting to know Lachlan a little better and to have that motivation to keep going no matter what. Follow your dreams no matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter if that person is your parent or somebody else in your life. Follow your dreams always. And so, between the next time that I see you and I tell you what you should be watching, what you should be avoiding, or guess what? What's the next thing that I'm working on? Don't forget, keep reading your comic books, keep watching that anime, rock and roll, and above everything else, follow the dreams
and stay nerdy, guys.